Welcome back to Almost Famous Minute, where we're discussing the 2000 Cameron Crowe film, Almost Famous, 1 minute at a time. I'm Eric Nash from Feels Like Weezer.
I'm David Smith from Airplane Minute and Top Secret Minute.
I'm Casey Likes from Almost Famous, the musical.
Well, Casey, that's amazing. You actually portray William, that's correct?
I do play William Miller.
So, this is the first, I probably may have had an actor or two, but not actually from the thing I'm kind of talking about or even related in a sense.
Right. Yeah.
So where do you perform?
We just did the premiere in San Diego at the Old Globe last year, which is actually really funny because it's in the beginning of Almost Famous. That's where we premiered it. And now we're just kind of waiting on the industry to be a thing again. So.
There's been plenty of other things too that have kind of got interrupted, unfortunately, but, And that one, hopefully I would love for it to, it feels like it could easily be like 5 years away or something, but to make it to my neck of the woods, that, or I have to make my way to wherever, whatever might be closest, whether it could still be in California, later next year or something, or if it makes it to New York or something.
Yeah.
I will be really excited to try to do that when it is a little bit safer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and David, this minute, he was here last week as a guest, and we're going to promote him to our unofficial non-responsibility.
Congratulations.
You bet. I got the epaulettes on my shoulders and everything.
So, like I was saying, that was last week was minute 67. We're here this week with Casey and David for minute 68. And minute 68 starts with sleepy and sexy hellos and ends with Ben liking what we're saying.
Yes.
So, Casey, how did you get involved with the production?
I got involved to make a long story short, there's this program called the Jimmy Awards, which is basically what the Broadway community likes to describe as the Junior Tonys. So the Tony Awards are basically like the awards for musicals on Broadway, just in case you don't know. But this is a competition for high schoolers, and I got there by performing in a high school musical here in Arizona where I live. And when I got there, it's kind of, all the Broadway community watches and just watches all these very, very crazy talented kids, I guess, that I got to work with. Mm-hmm. And we all perform, and they saw me, the casting director, Jillian Simini for Almost Famous, the musical, was looking because they had previously lost the person that they were planning on moving forward with William, for the musical. And they saw me, and I guess they were like, that kid looks like William, and he sings pretty all right. and they brought me in, and I auditioned and met Cameron in LA, and we really got along. And then I moved on to audition for the director, Jeremy Herron, and the lyricist and composer, Tom Kitt. And yeah, it kind of happened in a week, and then I was in rehearsals the next week.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy.
So you went from high school musicals to off-Broadway, essentially.
Yeah. It's kind of an unfair little turn of events, but I'm very happy to be here. And awesome. I get to talk to you guys. I get to talk to all of y'all about just this amazing story.
Yeah. So we were talking last week in the last minute about this is really sort of a pivotal moment for William, because he's kind of, he's losing his virginity. He's had this real deep feelings for Penny, and she's sort of letting him go and do this thing. But he's also kind of disobeying his bosses at Rolling Stone and stuff. It's a really kind of a pivotal moment for him.
Yeah, it is. It really is, man. It's and it's also, as Cameron Crowe's writing usually is, it's these very serious themes under, you know, this hilarious dialogue, which is like, you're like, man, how am I like, I get everything going on, but I'm also laughing.
Yeah.
It's funny stuff, man. I love it.
Yeah. And I think that's a pretty important point there that, you know, I think you can maybe use the word disappointing his bosses, so to speak, at with Rolling Stone, Ben Fontoures, that we heard a little bit last minute, him saying his own name. And then this minute, at the very beginning of this minute, Sapphire repeating his name back aloud for barely sleeping William to hear.
Yeah, and, right.
Stuns him awake that Ben is actually calling him right now. at this point in the morning after his wild night. The idea that, you know, I mean, there's the one point here where Ben really, you know, gets upset with him, you mm-hmm. know, is, you know, get it together, man. That whole idea that, you know, a reporter, even if he was older, shouldn't be having fun. in such a way that I think it's because Ben realizes there's a couple young women in the room with him. I mean, there's the one that answered, and he can really tell that there must be this other woman, young woman in the room. That's she hasn't finished with coffee, but she says, "I need some."
Yeah, Anna Paquin makes a little yelp.
Yeah.
I think it's also like when he gets mad, Ben Fontoures, you know, looking back at the script, it's, you know, he's like, get it together, man. And he's saying, you know, we need your stuff. And I think he kind of thinks that maybe he doesn't have anything, which I think in William's mind at this point, he's like, I don't have anything, you know, and it's not true. I mean, he truly does have a lot of great stuff, but he just doesn't have the Russell interview, which is a pretty much, in William's eyes and in Rolling Stone's eyes, the most important piece.
Yeah.
Like there is no story without that interview.
Yeah. And he probably really needs it to kind of really get the rest of the story that he has on all these little scraps of paper that he did a couple minutes ago. Now he was in the bathtub with all around him, trying to compile into something resembling an article of substance. Like you said, without the Russell interview, it's hard to really gauge what's the best way to put that other stuff in order.
Yeah, does he actually say in here that, do you have the Russell interview? Is that a line in here?
I don't think it's in this minute.
Okay. He says that, oh, maybe it's in the next minute? I don't remember.
I don't even know if that doesn't sound familiar though to me. So that could be something that was
in the musical.
Yeah, musical only. Yeah, that'll be crazy when it does come to that point where it's a little better known, little, you know, seen a lot more than it has so far, unfortunately. But and you know, I mean, we also had the you know, we have the great thing that you know, that has the payoff of Lester Bangs, played by the great Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know, giving him the right wording to whet Ben Fontoures' appetite, you know, that the article is coming or something is kind of happening, that this somewhat unknown reporter. I mean, you know, he has read his stuff before in Cream.
Is all the to that. The stuff that he's written on his hand, is that from Lester Bangs?
Right.
Oh, I forgot that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, he wrote it down on his hand because he didn't have anything else at that point. But it's a really good thing, it turns out, because he couldn't have reached and gone all the way into the bathroom, into the shower where his stuff really should be still. And hopefully hasn't gotten wet by anyone.
I find it interesting that Ben Fontoures is swayed by that bullshit.
Yeah. It's really a funny line. It's wild that, yeah, it's kind of like, I also think it's so, I mean, when you really look at it, you know, obviously you get it as, you know, any of us could really be be like, okay, I see what it's saying. But when you first hear that, especially as fast as, you know, Patrick wields it off, he just really runs it off pretty quickly. And then instantly Ben's like, okay, I get it. And you're like, really? Okay.
And I guess maybe it would have worked in the 70s, but the term think piece has been thrown around so much by now that it's basically meaningless.
Yeah. Yeah. I use that as like a joke in like life. I'm just like, ah, it's a think piece. No, it's not.
Right. And like, isn't every band like struggling with fame or whatever he says?
Right. The harsh face of stardom.
There it is. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a chain and a conscious change, but it's harsh glare in the in the musical. I don't know if that matters, but. Hmm.
Are there any other interesting differences in this scene in the musical?
Great question. Let me figure it out. A major difference is that I'm not allowed to cover Polexia's mouth when she.
That was actually my more specific question.
What, is that what you were asking?
Well, I mean, that was the next thing I was going to say. Is like that whole thing where he covers her mouth and then he covers it again when he wants to use his left hand to read the words. Mm-hmm. And like that seemed really weird. I wondered if that was in the musical.
No, it's not. I don't. I think it's more of a spacing issue because, I mean, it's like we have a small bed that we basically have this big, you know, scene before, obviously, where he loses his virginity. But I think it just didn't work out spacing wise. And it, you know, like we're not presenting to a camera. We're presenting this big house. So I'm not touching her face for that long. I think it would have looked weird.
Are you trying to murder her or
right?
I just kind of shush her, and it's kind of a funny moment. Yeah. But I'm just like, and then I continue on with the scene.
Okay, that makes more sense. I think in this one, it's played for comedy, especially because you have the camera like top down on her face when he switches hands. But it's also like he's already shushed her. He doesn't need to keep putting his hand on her face.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yet, though, the way she finishes, that actually is apparently next minute, though, too. I kind of gave it away earlier, coffee. But you know, she still does finish what she was going to say, even after for this protracted, you know, half a minute or more, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's played in the musical like, she has enough respect to be quiet while he's on the phone. And then as soon as he hangs up the phone, she immediately hits it with the coffee.
So. Nice.
Well, speaking of respect, there's Sapphire after the think piece line. Sapphire, you know, going, you know, saying very whispered to William. That's great, yeah. And you know, because it's so whispered, I mean, that's something I was definitely thinking about in relation to having you on. And it's like, you know, how does whispering work in the theater world? I mean, you can't really whisper, can you? I mean, you can kind of try to give the effect that you're whispering, but you still have to say it loud enough for the audience to hear.
Yeah, that's a great point. We're very, especially, I can't say especially in this production because, I mean, all of them are, but we're very lucky to have a great sound person, a sound designer by the name of, I believe it's Peter Holinsky, but he's really incredible and he really picks up things that are very close, but we still have to do this thing called a stage whisper, which is basically just a very supported whisper that is almost like talking, you know, it's almost like talking like loudly. I mean,
but it sounds like a whisper.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's, you know, whereas if I was whispering, I'd be like, hey, what's up? Like if I'm whispering on stage, I'd be like, hey, what's up? Like there's still a little bit of tone in my voice. So, it's kind of what it
are
is.
You guys mic'd?
Yeah. Okay. I'm mic'd. I'm actually the only character in the show that doesn't wear a wig. So everybody else has their mics and their wigs. so you really can't see it. I mean, it's just like some productions have them on the cheek and stuff like that, but all of our mics are hidden, and mine is hidden in my hair. So I have that little process before I go on.
And so how is the pack hidden in this scene?
The pack, I think their packs are hidden literally in their wigs. And then my pack is hidden in my pants. So this is different minute, obviously, but I don't take my pants off to do just straight underwear. I have jeans on, and I get my shirt taken off, but it's like taped down my back.
And you don't see your back on the stage.
Right. I'm always facing forward.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's just, this whole scene, really, the scene before with the deflower, the deflowering scene, and then this scene, both of them were worked on, honestly, more than anything in the show. And then the second to that would be this song called It's All Happening, which is in the Hyatt House. we worked on it quite a bit, just tonally. It's like you're really watching a 15-year-old with no shirt on, and it's not like you can hide behind your popcorn in a movie screen. Like, that 15-year-old probably can see you, and you can't laugh at him because you'll feel awkward and you'll feel bad because you're like, he's a child. And then, yeah, everyone's also everyone's older in our production than they are in the movie, just by a little bit, not by a lot, just like a few years. But it really, really hits home that, like, he is a child, you know, he's a naked child in bed with three older women.
But, so actually that begs the question, how old are you?
I'm 18 currently. Okay. I was 17 when I did the production. So like, I guess technically an adult, but really I'm a child. I'm like 2 years old, but yeah, I was 17 when I did the production in San Diego.
Wow.
It looks like I'll be 19 or older if we continue on past this. So it's crazy.
But William, you know, you're saying, you know, it, you know, he was a child, but he is now a man. As he kind of points out next minute, going a little bit too far next minute, but there is that aspect too.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I never thought about that. This is like the first minute of him being different, I guess, you know? It's a very good point. I'm going to use that. It's great, man. I love this scene. It's really funny.
Yeah, and I love how Ben says, we've already got one Hunter Thompson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just totally brings back, you know, whoever's seen the movie. No, I can't think of the name.
Fear and Loathing.
There it is. Fear and Loathing, Las Vegas.
How familiar are you with that? I mean, is that a part that was included in the musical, the Hunter Thompson line?
Yeah, 100 Thompson is in the musical. There's a lot of I mean, it's funny because people really like to, you know, when you're in the show, our ensemble is playing so many different roles.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if you asked a member from our ensemble and they're like, are you playing 100 Thompson in one scene? Because, you know, there's one girl in our ensemble that just, like, she has decided in certain scenes she is Stevie Nicks.
Oh,
and you know, and it kind of works because she looks exactly like Stevie Nicks. So, you know, if you asked a member of our ensemble, there's probably someone playing 100 Thompson at some point in the show. So,
that's actually, gets confused a lot. I just mentioned him last minute, with when David was with us and another co-host then. But, I mentioned Rainn Wilson's character, but, there are some people out there, I think some earlier guests that I don't think it was necessarily when he was on, but even before the minute, he's already been on once, and he's going to be on again when we get back to more Rolling Stone office, bigger scenes in the office. But they were thinking that he was supposed to be Hunter Thompson, And probably mostly because of the, you know, the tip, you know, the tip, what have you type of cigarette, the like the extension piece.
Mm-hmm.
He is smoking one of those in the scenes, Rain's character.
Yeah, Rain, we have the same character in our show, and it's, okay. His character's name is David Felton, and okay. David Felton right. and Ben Fong Torres came to the show one night. So we met both of them, cool. And then we had the actors that played them obviously take a picture with them. So that was really special.
Wow.
But yeah, they were super cool. He was like, Ben Fong Torres was like, wow, the guy you got to play me was cooler than me in the movie, and he's even cooler than me now. He's just a funny guy.
Awesome. So you said you've met Cameron Crowe.
Yeah.
So one of the things we were remarking last week is that, you know, we've seen pictures and videos of Cameron Crowe, you know, post this movie. And it seemed to me like it was hard for me to reconcile him now with William in this movie. How do you feel about that? Do you think he represented himself truly in this movie?
Yeah, it's a great question because, you know, we had so many discussions about I was really nervous at the beginning because they were like, they kept giving me the note, smile more. And I was like, that's an interesting note because, you know, from my perspective of Patrick's performance, you know, I don't think of William as smiling all the time. I think of him as wide-eyed, you know, just trying not to mess up all the time. And I really was trying to play that. And they were like, smile more. And I was like, okay. And then we got some other notes throughout the process where I was kind of like, I feel like we're my idea of what William is, especially through Patrick's unbelievable performance. I was like, I feel like we're straying away from, you know, what I at least think I'm doing. And then we finally had this big long conversation where they were like, we're trying to have this essence of William. We're not trying to do Patrick's performance. And then I just kind of came to the realization in that moment that I was like, you have the guy right there. Like he writes our book. He's there every single day. Like, and he's also the only member of our creative team that saw every single, like almost every single show. I think he missed two, but usually creative members go home. They go home and, you know, they've done their work. Like, why would you stay and watch 47 productions over and over again? But he's always there. So I've had so much time with Cameron, and we do Zoom calls every Wednesday almost. Where the cast and I and Cameron, we just all bond and we just hang out and talk about whatever. But you know, the more and more you talk to him, the more you're like, wow, this is not made up. Like everything in that movie is Cameron. I think he looks a little different in real life, especially at 15. He had this long, gorgeous like hair that was just unbelievable. But
yeah, I only mentioned that last minute for the very first time because just earlier in a week I had seen a photo of him.
Yeah.
I'd seen other photos of him and of roughly the right time period, but at those points he just didn't have it quite as long as he did, you know.
Right.
Way past his shoulder.
Yeah, it's crazy. Wow. I like visually, like I think the William character now, especially now that there's two versions out there, there's the musical and the movie. Visually, we look a little bit different, but I mean, the essence of Cameron, it's like when you meet him and when you talk to him, which, you know, you will someday, he'll probably be at whatever production you come to Almost Famous, even if it's 20 years from now, he will definitely still be there and he will be watching that freaking show every night. But, you know, you talk to him and you're like, wow, you are William. You make me feel like I want to say everything to you. And it's incredible.
That's really cool. Yeah, because that's sort of the essence of the William character is that he's so pure and innocent in this movie that all these jaded rockers and you know, groupies / band-aids are just drawn to his innocence and purity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's still like that today. It's like,
oh, that's great.
You know, we're all like, it's just amazing because you're like, You are the most powerful person in this room. However, you are still the best person in this room.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you shouldn't be like that, but you are. Like, you have an Oscar. Like, you don't need to talk to me. And he does. He's even the jaded musical theater people that are all like, 8 shows. And he's like, great. 8 shows. Get to watch you 8 times this week.
Wow.
He's great, man. He's just the best person.
You must have heard, I mean, there's got to have been other people that have said to him, and maybe you were confused by the line, but maybe hopefully people filled you in and got you to watch this old movie from the early 90s, Wayne's World, and people Love doing the We're Not Worthy.
Oh, it's funny. I was just going through our links in our text yeah. message stream, because he sent me some demos from the show, and I actually sent him that GIF the other day, because he's so complimentary. Oh, wow. Like, he's a journalist, yeah. So he just says the best compliments, and I just sent him the We're Not Worthy GIF, because that's like that's him, man. Like, he just walks into a room and you feel like giving him that. You feel like giving him that Wayne's World touch. Uh-huh. Right, man. Crazy.
Additionally, another little thing that Plexia is doing is the stuff with her hand on William's body, on his arm, mainly, mostly, it seems like. Hopefully, yeah. Mostly. Hopefully nowhere else off camera. But
what are you talking about?
At that point, it's a little too late.
Yeah. But yeah, a little walking her fingers up his arm. So without holding your hand over her mouth, at least for that long, something like that is probably also kind of missing from the musical, I imagine.
Yeah, I think they really get it out of the way in the movie, you kind of only see the beginning of that deflowering scene, and you're like, okay, we can assume something happens, but okay. It's kind of expanded in the musical,
okay,
yeah. In a very tasteful way.
And that's one of the things that's kind of done to, yeah,
yeah. So I think they get all the little playful poking and prodding of William,
yeah,
but done in the scene prior. So I think they're kind of all tired and just laughing the next morning. Rather than playing with his arm hair.
So how many girls are there the next morning in your play?
Yeah, right. I thought I heard you say three.
Three.
Because what we have actually at the end of next minute, or maybe even the minute after that, is Beth in another room.
Yeah, Beth's with Dick, right?
Yeah, I believe that is Dick. Yeah.
Wow. We don't even have a Beth, which is funny because Bijou. Bijou left the production and so it was Beth that came in and so we only have it's actually Sapphire, Plexia, and Estrella that are in the room at the end. So the Beth character is kind of just molded into Estrella. Or is it Plexia?
Well, yeah, and that's what happens for the movie, that Estrella kind of goes, we don't really know where she's gone off to. She has gone off in the middle here-ish.
Right.
She may come back. Does she come back? But yeah, and Beth kind of takes her place, so that kind of happens about the same time, I think,
mm-hmm.
for the movie. So yeah.
Yeah. She does all the same stuff, all the flirtation on the phone and, earlier in the movie, and then obviously she is in the bed. She is in the bed at the beginning. It's all three girls. And yeah.
Hey, listener, are you registered to vote? Headcount is a nonpartisan organization that works with the music and entertainment industry to get fans to vote. To update or check your voter registration status, go to headcount.org, where you will find all the information you need to be ready for Election Day. Are you registered to vote at your current address? More than 60% of eligible voters have never been asked to register. Headcount.org is working to change that. Register to vote at headcount.org.
So going back to the previous minute, when the girls are dancing around William, and Penny is about to leave, there's these super tight shots on his eyes and her eyes. How do you handle that on the stage version?
That's a great question. I'm a sucker for any eye shots. Like I'm a filmmaker myself, and just shots of eyes I think are so telling of characters. And obviously you don't have that in musical theater. So, like I said, it's kind of expanded. That whole scene is expanded in the musical into a number. And without giving too much of it away, there's a moment where the song that we are singing kind of fades away, and William's being, you know, kind of his shirt is taken off, and the girls are all around him and on top of him, and he's all he can focus on is Penny. So she walks around the room, very similar to how she does in the movie, but it's like you see that, you know, where the camera zoomed in on his eyes in the movie, and you kind of assume what's going on outside of that shot, you know, in this, you see it, you know, you see what's going on. And I actually think it's just as powerful as that eye shot, because it's like, you get to see how much he is ignoring to just look at Penny. And it's like, there's so much happening around him, but all he can think about is Penny.
And you say this is a musical number at this point?
Yeah, it is. It's a really cool musical number. Cause it's original music throughout the show, but there's also some hits from the 70s that are in there. So it's like part jukebox, but then also part original from these amazing tunes written by Tom Kitt. And this is, this moment specifically, that eye moment where he's looking at Penny, is a combination of an already known hit that I'll leave up to surprise. and then a Tom Kitt original in the middle of it.
And is it a duet between William and Penny, or is it just a William? Like what is the number?
It's pretty, I don't even know how to describe it. It's everyone in the room has their moment. When it comes to
an ensemble to that piece. Scene.
Yeah. So it's cool.
Very cool.
We really dig it. It's took a lot of work though. Because, you know, tonally, it's like a scene that obviously you can imagine is hard to get right. And Cameron just nailed it in the movie.
Yeah, because it's basically, you know, wordless in the movie. Mm-hmm. And you gotta bring that out in song on the stage. It's really tough.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I don't know how many musicals you've seen or whatever, but I don't really dig the musicals that are like, I am talking and I'm singing and I'm singing about what I'm saying. And it's just like, you're like, okay, can I just watch the movie? You know? But I think what's great about the musical is that Tom and the selection of songs that Tom and Cameron and whoever else had a say in it, the 70s songs that they picked, they're all songs that are not like, I'm going to tell you what I'm singing about. Like I'm not singing a song about like, I am losing my virginity. Like it's not anything like that. It's like this very tastefully artistic moment where you're kind of like, oh wow. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain without giving too much away, but it's really cool.
So what, I guess what non-original songs are in the stage play that are the same ones that are in the movie? Are they different? Is this like a huge difference?
There's a lot of similar ones from the movie.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, and I do have to say, prior to talking about a few of them, is that, you know, everything's subject to change because it was frozen in San Diego, but, you know, we could always change it in the next production of it.
Sure.
I think it's pretty locked down. I think everything worked out pretty well in San Diego, but there might be give or take a few differences, but I'm assuming that you really want to know if Tiny Dancer's in it, which is, yes, Tiny Dancer is in it. I feel like people would probably throw a thing at the stage if it wasn't. So Tiny Dancer's in it. And there's some new ones, obviously in the same flavor of the ones that are in there. But the big ones that are the same from the movie include Tiny Dancer, River by Joni Mitchell. I'm trying to think of the other ones that are in the movie.
Well, I know, I think I mentioned it on the last week as well. There's the Beach Boys song, Feel Flow.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, and I know that's a special one for Cameron.
Feel Flow is unreal.
Yeah. But that'd be really interesting to hear, you know, a more musical style version of it, you know, with it's not quite all highly produced, you know, in the studio, that is kind mm-hmm. of all the productions that can happen in the studio.
Yeah. So that's my question is for the classic rock songs that are in the stage play, are they just played or are you performing them live?
We are performing them live. Feel Flows is not in it. But it is a great song. I feel like Feel Flows may have been in a lab of the show, a reading of the show. I don't know. I never was involved in the readings or the labs, so I don't know for sure, but I know almost all of that soundtrack was at one point in the show, because even Cameron experimented with a fully jukebox version of this show just based on the soundtrack of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then he decided he needed some original tunes, which I'm very thankful for, because the original stuff is just mind blowing. But yeah, we do sing some, and there are different arrangements. I don't know if you know anything about Tom Kitt, but Tom Kitt is, he arranged the American Idiot musical. Mm-hmm. And he just recently arranged the Jagged Little Pill musical, Alanis Morissette.
Oh, I heard that one was really good.
Yeah, so he's pretty experienced when it comes to finding new creative ways to listen to songs we already know and love.
Hmm. Yeah, I like what we're saying, so to speak.
Perfect.
Yeah, this has been great, Casey, and I think we're going to probably wind down. I don't know if there's any other big notes that either of you kind of may have had for the minute proper. There's definitely the one thing we need to get from you for this minute. I told you a little bit about before. If you can, mm-hmm. will you rank the bands that are most commonly believed to make up the band Stillwater? Will you be doing this from favorite to least or vice versa?
I feel like I'm so unqualified. Can you repeat the bands again?
So yeah, Allman Brothers Band, Eagles, Led Zeppelin, and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
I'm so unqualified. I'm like, I don't. I will say the ones I know the most.
Are any? Let me ask you this real quick though. Do you know of those four? Are any of those?
I do, because most of their music is
in the show. Are any of those bands part of the show?
Yeah, actually, I think all of them are.
All four. Okay.
I don't know if we have any Eagles. We might not have any Eagles in there. But I know for sure we have three of those. I would say, I'm just going to say the ones I know the most, because I don't want people to attack me. Because I know people have some serious opinions on this one. But I would say Led Zeppelin, it's got to be number one. You know, it's the obvious choice, but it's like, it's the obvious choice for a reason. I'm debating between Allman Brothers and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And those two, really, you know, I think for majority of people kind of fall pretty similar. You know, I mean, they're both this very Southern rock, you know, and all three of the others besides Zeppelin are kind of off on their own as well. They're all American versus Led Zeppelin being British.
Mm-hmm. So right.
And the Eagles, it's just that, you know, that bit of country tin, you know, tweakness to it.
Yeah, I think the Eagles is the one I know the least about, truly. I think I know the most stories about the Eagles just because of Cameron and having to study on the show, but I don't know I don't know too much of their music, so I'll have to say Allman Brothers Band number 2, Lynyrd Skynyrd number 3, and the Eagles number 4.
That is the correct answer.
Yeah.
You agree?
That's what I said last week.
Word. That's right. I'm so glad.
And I actually know about all the bands and have all Led Zeppelin's albums and et cetera.
Great. I'm glad I passed the test.
Oh, that's just great. Let's find out from David just a little bit more what he'd like to, you know, let us know about, you know, like especially like for his, the stuff, his projects, you know, some social medias.
Yeah, so I do a couple of podcasts, Airplane Minute, Top Secret Minute, and Sequel Harder. You can find them at their respective names on Facebook and Twitter, and you can find them all at neozaz.com. And also, just relating to Led Zeppelin, on Sequel Harder, we recently did the reviewed all of the 3 Thor movies. And in the 3rd Thor movie, Thor Ragnarok, they use Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which
in
is
a
only
great
the
way.
Oh, it's so beautiful, right? It's only the 3rd time that Led Zeppelin has let their music be used in a movie. The other 2 were Cameron Crowe movies, which is Almost Famous and Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
So, yeah. Find all that stuff at neozaz.com.
That's great. That's very cool. And so, Casey, how can people find you or and find out about various things you have going on?
My social media is all under the same thing for everything. It's at just Casey Likes. Just is in the name. And yeah, that's where you'll find out of pretty much everything I'm doing. And this is what I'm doing. Almost Famous. This is what I'm doing right now. So if you want to know, just think about it. If the industry has not come back, if musical theater is not around, then just sit on your couch and think about how Casey is waiting for Almost Famous, which I guess is a metaphor for a lot of things, I guess. But, yeah. Thanks for having me, y'all. This has been incredible.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, it's been great hearing about this behind the scenes stuff that you and very few other people kind of could give us some insight on.
Lucky to be here. Lucky to talk to people who are as passionate about it as I am.
Well, you'll have to meet my number one co-host is a great guy, Aaron Stark, and he says he's easily watched this over 100 times.
And yes,
I feel like I'm getting close to it because I watched the same minute, you know,
it's, right, you
know, quite a few times before getting on air and so forth. But he is the truest fan, I do believe. But further social media things for the show itself, Twitter certainly a big place, at Almost Famous Min, and that's the same for Instagram. That we have, and Facebook, we have our group and our page. Our page is at facebook.com/almostfamousminute, and our group is called the Band-Aids Listener Society. So just search that out and just have to answer a couple very easy questions so I know you're not a bot.
Yes.
And so again, a huge thanks to Casey, and hopefully he'll be back on for a couple or so more, maybe pretty soon, or you know, down the road, you know, it could happen either way, but just hopefully schedules line up right. So it could be next week, Minute 69 with another guest, and Casey should move up to the co-host spot, much like David did between the 2 weeks.
Yes. Oh my god,
does that mean I'm
really
fired?
Appreciate that.
David, I'm sorry, you just didn't make the round.
Oh
you
man,
just caught it. No, you killed it, David.
Yeah, it was great talking to you.
Yeah, David was an excellent guest co-host to have on for this minute. Really appreciate it. And we'll be back with Minute 69 next week. This was 68 to Minute 69 next. And until then, it's all happening.
It's all happening. 69, dude.
Yeah. so happening so close to the deflowering.
Yeah, I was also
on,
thinking
Cameron,
that
you should have just
what if I am a bot?
I am
the Golden God! Yeah!
Yeah! And I was born in the backseat of a Greyhound bus, rolling down Highway 41.
You know the Queen of Hearts is always your best bet.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.